Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we have two programs in one, a split show, because there are two important events happening within the next couple of weeks here in Astoria, Oregon, that are valuable and that we need to let people know about. And the first is going to be a Lower Columbia Diversity Project event, which is happening on Sunday, November 8th. At the Guy Boynton Building downtown Astoria, and that is Helping Our Heroes, Addressing Veteran Homelessness in Clatsop County, a really vital and important topic. In the studio today to talk about that, I have our city council member, Drew Herzig, who is also the chairman of the Lower Columbia Diversity Project. Hi, Drew.
Hi, Donna.
Glad to have you here in the studio. I also have Coast Guard Petty Officer Hannah Silverman. She is working with the Lower Columbia Diversity Project, and she's going to talk to us about some things we don't know about at the Coast Guard that are happening with diversity. Hi, Hannah.
Pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you here, too. We also have Chuck Meyer in the studio. Chuck, in the second half of the program, we'll be talking about the Astor Street Opry's Company, BNASOC, Astor Street Opry Company Angel Fundraiser, on November 12th. With a dinner at the Astoria Event Center. Hi, Chuck. We'll talk to you after we talk about the Lower Columbia Diversity Project event.
Good morning.
Excellent. All right. So, Drew, please tell the listening audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, as you mentioned, I'm currently a city councilor here in Astoria. Moved with my partner here in 2009, got involved in social issues, city politics, that sort of thing. And before I got onto the city council, I got involved with the Lower Columbia Diversity Project. We've been around about 4 years. And the precipitating events were that the city was hearing about some racial incidents happening both with the Coast Guard housing families and at Tongue Point Job Corps kind of thing, that some of our visitors, guests, people who are serving the community were not feeling comfortable here because of a certain underlying tone of racism that they were picking up. And we had a couple community town halls and realized that we need to start addressing this proactively rather than reactively. And the Lower Columbia Diversity Project was born.
So that was 4 years ago, and
yes.
And you have regular meetings.
Well, we try to present some presentation, not every month, but we usually score about 8 or 9 presentations per year.
That's impressive.
It really is, and they're usually from the community. Like this one, we're bringing community partners together to talk about veteran homelessness, but they are social issues that are of importance to the community that we need to talk about. They're usually informational presentations and community conversations. We always have a question and answer period because we think it's so important that the community gets involved in discussing these things.
And the Lower Columbia Diversity Project is open to everyone, so anyone can come to your meetings, you don't have meetings, you're actually doing events rather
yes.
than actual meetings.
Correct. Then. That's
okay.
It. And they're always free, they're open to everybody, and we encourage people. Even if it doesn't seem an issue that relates to you, you'd be amazed. You come, this one in particular, as we may talk about a little bit later, covers so many of our social concerns here in Clatsop County.
Well, thank you so much, Drew. And Hannah, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Donna. My name is Hannah Silverman. I've been in the Coast Guard for almost 5 years, and I've been stationed here in lovely Astoria for 3 years, about 3.5 years. And I'm the secretary for the Leadership Diversity Advisory Council for Coast Guard Sector Columbia River, which is an internal organization council for the Coast Guard that really focuses on the benefits that diversity has to the workforce, but also our relationships with the community. We've done events in the past to create awareness about domestic violence, and now veterans homelessness is our next topic.
So since you've been with the Coast Guard, has this been your position? Could you explain more about what the Coast Guard then does to address diversity? Because a lot of people may not know that what you do. So could you explain in more detail perhaps what you do and what this particular program
sure.
is?
Sure. This organization is Coast Guard wide, and every unit has the ability to have an LDAC, Leadership Diversity Advisory Council. And the the basic gist of it is just to bring our unit together and find, you know, diversity and appreciate diversity. So we do different projects for like Black History Month and, you know, Hispanic American History Month and different projects just to heighten the awareness that we're all from different places around the country and actually around the world. And that's why we make such a good service to, you know, the nation, because we are a diverse group of people. It's a volunteer position. I was voluntold, as we call it in the Coast Guard, to come to a meeting, and I ended up leaving the meeting as the secretary. So it's been a great organization and council to be a member of. Most of it's on my spare time. It's not my actual Coast Guard job, but it's definitely worth it to be a part of.
So most of these, then, events that you do are just for the Coast Guard employees who are working in the Coast Guard?
Yes, most of them are internal. However, we do try to make our presence known at a lot of the community events, because we live here, we work here, we're part of the community too. So we try and keep our presence known, like in when we did the lighting of the blue light for domestic violence at the column, or the 5Ks that we do. You're usually going to see a decent Coast Guard presence there, and we like to highlight that at the unit and bring those community events to the unit so we can be more involved.
Okay, and so you and Drew have been working together on putting on this panel presentation with a question and answer period at the end, Helping Our Heroes, Addressing Veteran Homelessness in Clatsop County. And how did you all decide to do this particular event?
Well, I was working with the Leadership and Diversity Advisory Council on the domestic violence awareness event. We had some members of the Coast Guard on our panel presentation on that. And as Hannah mentioned, when we lit the Astoria Column teal for Domestic Violence Awareness Month in April, we had a great showing by the Coast Guard. So it's been a really productive partnership in talking through some of those issues. Hannah and I connected over homelessness. It's been both of us are very concerned about that, and it seemed natural that the Coast Guard would be involved in doing a presentation about veteran homelessness, which to me is a national scandal that so many of our veterans are homeless. Hannah has some statistics on that.
We'd like to hear those statistics, because I was shocked when Hannah told me just before we went on the air. So please, Hannah, let our listening audience know some of these statistics about veteran homelessness.
Sure. So first, the state of Oregon defines homelessness as being without decent, safe, stable, and permanent place to live that is fit for human habitation. So when we look at veteran homelessness, we're seeing 23% of the homeless population is veterans nationwide. 33% of the male homeless population is veterans nationwide. So when we look at Clatsop County in 2014, they recorded 1,676 homeless individuals or families. So if we go with the national 23% rate, we're looking at about 386 homeless veterans in our area, if we're reflecting and mirroring national statistics. And 89% of those veterans have an honorable discharge from the military. 76% of them have mental health issues, alcohol or substance abuse issues. So there's a big vulnerability and area for us to improve on within the county and within the country.
I don't think people realize that the trauma that, I mean, I it certainly has changed over the last decades. I think Vietnam, I mean, a lot of these veterans are also from the Vietnam War.
47%, according to the National Coalition on Homelessness.
Which is shocking, and I think a deep embarrassment for this country that we still have Vietnam veterans. They were treated so shabbily. It was such a controversial war. It was one of our first dirty wars, in a sense, that we were fighting basically a civilian population, not intentionally, but soldiers came back deeply traumatized by what they had to go through there. Not only that, but it was probably one of our first wars where drug use became endemic in our military, just to survive, just to cope with the situations they were exposed to. And those people came back. We weren't prepared to deal with their trauma adequately at that time. It was brand new to all of us. Plus, the reception that they got was so hostile. So it's shocking that so many of our Vietnam veterans, aging people who are still having to be homeless at this point.
And we're still underprepared as a country.
Yes. Yes. We haven't cleaned up our act much.
That's true. So what can we do here in Clatsop County? Tell us about what's going to be happening on Sunday, November 8th. That's this coming Sunday, from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Guy Boynton Building on Commercial Street in downtown Astoria. The presentation is free. It's open to the public. There's a panel. Let's talk about what's going to happen on Sunday.
All right, and it starts at 4 p.m. It's later than our usual time, so we're starting at 4 p.m. Hannah's going to start with a slide presentation to give us some of the background, some of the statistics she mentioned, some of the definitions of homelessness, and some of the numbers. It's very hard to do a homeless count. The Clatsop Community Action does that project Homeless Connect every year in January, I believe, and that's their point in time. But that doesn't mean that we've counted every homeless person in Clatsop County, so the numbers are rough kind of thing. We're going to talk about the numbers. We've had Todd Johnson from the Northwest Oregon Housing Authority to talk about how the housing crunch is also affecting veterans, that they provide subsidized housing, but they have waiting lists that go from 6 months to 2 years. So even if veterans have connected with subsidized housing, they may still not be able to get into it. We're going to have John Coy from Clatsop Community Action, who's their veterans service worker kind of thing, who can also tell us about. They had a veteran with a family who moved here with a job prospect that fell through. They were homeless. We're all just like a paycheck away from homelessness or a job offer away kind of thing. It took him 2 months to get them into housing because they had to go through all sorts of preparations. So he'll be talking about what Clatsop Community Action is doing. Patrick Preston with the Oregon Employment Department will talk about how we try to provide jobs for veterans. And even that, as you know, everybody's looking for a job. Brian Mahoney from the Clatsop County Public Health will be talking about how this is a real public health issue. So it's a really solid panel to talk about a number of different aspects of veteran survival in Clatsop County and how much veterans are at risk for homelessness here.
And I think you said there will also be a veteran there who will be available and speaking, and you want audience participation. There will be plenty of time for question and answers.
Absolutely, yes. A gentleman who's living in Restoration House in Seaside, which is sort of a transitional living arrangement kind of thing. So many of the veterans, as we talked about, are at risk for homelessness because of various mental or physical issues, untreated, you know, symptoms, that kind of thing. Some of them have criminal records that could be low grade, but nonetheless, that's another barrier for getting into housing or employment. So we thought it was important because we talk about helping our heroes, but not all of our heroes are saints. They're human beings just like the rest of us. They've had good times and bad times, but our criminal record can stay with you way too long, and it can really reduce your chances of being a productive member of society.
Hannah, what do you hope will happen as a result of this event Helping Our Heroes, addressing veteran homelessness in Clatsop County on Sunday?
I really hope that this event will change people's perspective on homelessness instead of seeing it as a burden on society, seeing it as an opportunity to help people who, you know, fought for this country, but also people who serve as community members, you know, in the city that we live in.
And I think we've talked about the fact that there is, it seems like, a growing homeless population. It's changed in the last few years, and we now have more homeless folks living here in Clatsop County.
Well, both locally and nationally. This year, I think this particular summer, for various reasons, with the traffic, with that thing, suddenly we saw an influx of homeless people of various types that was shocking to the community. It was unprecedented. But that's the way the country is going. We were talking earlier that a number, I believe Seattle just recently declared an emergency on homelessness, and the state of Hawaii has also declared emergency. We are seeing emergency conditions now across the country that more and more people, because of the housing crunch, because of the economy, there are any number of factors that are pushing people, and these aren't people necessarily with criminal records or drug problems or anything like that. They are just people like you and me, one paycheck away from homelessness, and so that nationally that's happening. Here in Clatsop County, we are not prepared for this sort of stuff. We don't have the resources. We don't have the structures in place, so we are all struggling to cope with it.
So this is a great way to address, you know, what's happening. This is a fairly new issue, and so you're hoping that as a result of this community conversation, there may be some ideas about how to move forward and to really have those resources that we need now.
Yes, to get the community aware and energized to start addressing this problem, because homelessness and veteran homelessness, there's an intersection between that, the economy, our mental health facilities out here in Clatsop County, which are minimal, our resources as far as job placement, housing, all that sort of thing. It brings together so many social issues, so it's a big conversation, and we're just going to be starting it on Sunday.
All right. Well, I hope, thank you both so much for the important work you do. Is there any last thing you'd like to say to the listening audience?
Hope to see you there on Sunday.
And I really want to thank Hannah for being such a great partner in putting this together. She's been an invaluable resource. It's been great working with her.
Thank you, Drew.
The Lower Columbia Diversity Project has a Facebook page now.
Yes, Lower Columbia Diversity Project.
Lower Columbia Diversity Project. If you want to reach someone there, you can actually email Drew at
drewherzig at gmail.com. That's DREWHERZIG at gmail.com. Information is on our Facebook page as well.
And being involved with the Lower Columbia Diversity Project is an important thing. Thank you so much for both of you for putting on this. Again, Sunday, Helping Our Heroes, Addressing Veteran Homelessness in Clatsop County. That's this Sunday, November 8th. That starts at 4 o'clock at the Boyington Building at 857 Commercial Street in Astoria. This is an important problem. It's a problem that is growing here, not only in Clatsop County, but throughout the nation. And so thank you for both of us being, for both of you for being proactive and getting in the middle of, and, you know, being leaders on this. That's what we need.
Thank you, Donna. Thanks for giving us
Thank you
time.
Both so much for being here today. All right. See you on Sunday. All thank right. you so much. And now we're going to let them leave, and then we'll be talking to Chuck Meyer. So thank you both so much again. And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns, and I'm Donna Quinn, your host. We just were speaking about the Lower Columbia Diversity Project event, Helping Our Heroes, this Sunday in downtown Astoria. And you can find out more information at the Lower Columbia Diversity Project on their Facebook page or by getting in touch with Drew Herzig, our city council member. Now we're going to switch. This is kind of an interesting switch. I'm not sure how to segue.
Juxtaposition.
From, to this.
That's a good word.
Juxtaposition, Chuck, is exactly right.
I like that word.
That's right. So things that don't seem to go together can go together, and that happen. And that's the great word for Astoria itself, isn't it?
That means you squeezed me in this morning.
That means that, yes, yeah. that means that we were going to do an entire show about that. However, because the Astor Street Opry Company's fundraiser is so important and because they provide such a vital service in our community, Drew was gracious enough to say, let's give Chuck the other half of the program. So Chuck Meyer is an Astor Street Opry Company board member. Astor Street Opry Company, you, if you're not familiar with it, they are best known probably for Shanghai and Astoria.
32 years this summer. It's the longest continuously running melodrama in the United States as far as we know.
That is significant. Thank you. That is an honor that Astor Street Opry Company holds. And Chuck, tell the listening audience a little bit about yourself and about what Astor Street Opry Company is.
Well, I'm a retired local business person from 30-some-odd years, lived here for 40-some-odd years, and have participated in the Astor Street Opry Company in one form or another probably most of the 30 years it's been going. Had a son in it for 12 years or so, and it's just one of the handful of assets that Astoria and the North Coast has that a lot of places don't have. We've got KMUN, obviously, Community Store, Clatsop College, and Astor Street all put a really nice flavor to our community and make it a really nice place to live.
It's true. And I think they've done research, Chuck, showing that if young people, and I know you have programs for young people throughout the year, that kids who get involved with theater, they're more confident, they are more willing to take risks, they feel like they belong, there's more acceptance. And so theater, there's a place for everyone in the theater.
I've got a personal experience. One of our middle son was the shyest kid in town until Judy, who's our general manager, got a hold of her with the theater company. And it was a transformation. He's now part owner of a tour company in Germany, and he's still basically doing play shows every day because of some of the confidence he got working with the theater company. But the main reason I'm here is next Thursday, Astor Street's going to have its second annual fundraiser dinner at the Event Center at 9th and Commercial. Last year, in our first event, I was really surprised. We raised over $22,000, which was good 6 months operating capital for the theater. And we're hoping to do that or better this year.
What's going to happen on Thursday, November 12th at the Downtown Astoria Event Center?
Well, we're starting off. We have a couple of nice guys that are going to provide music for us. And Peter Roscoe from Fulio's has, again, for the second year, donated his cooking skills to make dinner for us. And Michael Foster, for the second year, is our main sponsor for the event. So all the money we raise can go towards operations instead of paying our bills for the event. And State Senator Betty Johnson will be supporting us with another check from her foundation. So she's got her hand in there.
Well, this is going to be, there's a live auction, there's a silent auction, there's music, there's dinner. The tickets are incredibly reasonable, and you can buy them at Holly McCone Jewelers. And you can also, how else can you get tickets, Chuck?
503-325-6104. And You can also go on our website of the Astor Street Opera Company. We're going to have fun. We have some really neat stuff. And for people that don't want to buy things to take home, and I'm one of them, I'm trying to clean up the house. We have lots of professional services that are being donated so that you can actually support the theater without bringing something home that gets dusty. We have Dr. Phil is donating a one-hour ride in his personal airplane for four people. Retired Sheriff Reichel is donating another four people for 1 hour at his airplane. We got Dr. Dill Corbett donating a three-hour Columbia River cruise in his 31-foot boat for up to six people. And one of the really choice things we're having this year is Chris Holland from Baked Alaska has got a new place in his called the Annex, and he has donated a dinner experience for eight people that will be paired with matching wines. I think it'll be the first event in his new Annex building, but he's donated again like he did last year. So we have artwork, we have professional service, we've got attorneys donating hours of, so you go sit down and talk to an attorney for an hour free. You'll probably end up spending some more money finishing your project, but the first hour is going to be on them. So instead of taking home something to hang on a wall and get dusty, we have nice, fun professional services you can get.
That sounds great, because a lot of people do want experiences. They don't really want an object. However, if you want an object, there are. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of there's a lot for everybody to choose from. There are these events, these experiences that you can have.
A couple dinners in homes.
Oh, dinners
there's two. Marco Davis, again, is going to go to your home and cook for four. He'll supply everything except the wine. And this couple lives over in Smith Point named Chuck and Sarah Myers is auctioning one off. You're going to come to their home for a family dinner.
Oh, that's the one I want. I want to go to your house.
We got a great view of the Columbia. You can sit there and just look right out across the bar and see the ships coming and going.
So this is the second annual. So you did it the first time last year. Now, this is called the Be an Astor Street Opry Company Angel.
Right.
And by being an angel, you are, not only do you have this incredibly fun event on Thursday, November 12th, with people who care about the community and about these opportunities for theater in this entire region, really. But you are also, you're donating, you're giving to a 501c3, a nonprofit, an organization, which is so worthwhile. What is it that you hope to gain, and other than obviously financial resources to continue running Astor Street Opening Company? Are there folks maybe who haven't attended Shanghai? Maybe there are some new people in town who don't know about Astor Street Opening Company?
Well, on your show and in the paper and at the event, we always hope to meet new people. It's like you getting your new members for the theaters, for the station. We're always looking for new people because there's a turnover all the time. And fortunately, we've been fortunate so far that we get an influx of new people. And we do run year-round now. We have seven major promotions or productions over the year. And we start with children's theater and classes. We have teen classes in theater. And in the teen, they get to do the directing, producing, lights, sound. They get to do everything. So they learn how to do theater. And you're right. When you get kids starting at age five and up, they get influenced by all these people standing around. And interestingly enough, the people that hang around theater companies, from what I've seen, are just really the kind of people I'd want my kids to hang out with. These are volunteers, over 250 volunteers in our programs in a year's time. So I always figured people are volunteering, whether at KMUN or at the theater, pretty nice people.
And hasn't Judith been the director of Judith and Island? Hasn't she been there for, how long has she been there?
As far as I know, this is starting a 32nd year next year. She'll be with us either 31 or 32 years.
It's maybe from
the
beginning.
She's been there basically from the beginning. We also have Dr. Dill Corbett, who was teaching a theater arts class at Clatsop College, where this melodrama was put up as a class project. And one of your station people, Liam Dunn, was involved way back. He was one of the writers for it. So there's at least three. They're still with the program that were there when it started.
And I know you also have writing contests. I mean, you actually, there's a call out for if you've written a play, you can submit it to Astor Street Opry Company to be produced.
That's been one of our fun projects where we get them literally from all over the world. And they pick three or four, depending upon how long the pieces are, and produce first-time play for people. And some of the people come in from out of state just to see their play being done.
The fact that Shanghai Nest Story is not only fun, it's one of those great melodramas where you can throw popcorn at the villain. And
we won't throw you out either. We'll sell you more popcorn.
Okay, good. You get to throw as much popcorn as you like at the stage. Absolutely. You moved into the building you're in. Why don't you tell folks where you actually are located, the actual theater itself, even though, because the theater is a little too small to have this big fundraiser, which is happening at the Event Center. But where is the actual location of the theater?
It's 129 West Bond Street. We're right next to the Chinese restaurant and kind of behind Pig and Pancake. And they moved in 5 years ago. And when they did that, the theater company made a basic change. Instead of renting a space to do a show from time to time, they now have a year-round expense. And that is what this event's about, is changing them from a rental outfit to a, not a business, but a little bit more business-oriented, where they have year-round expenses. So
to own their own location, so they can't have to, so they don't have to move. And they...
The slight example, we don't own the building. We have this little mortgage for $300,000, which I'm also working on, but we don't have to worry about moving anymore.
Okay, so you're buying the building, but you need the funds, and so this is their the annual fundraiser for
That's what this is for, is to keep the doors open.
Okay.
Community theaters, unfortunately, none that I know of actually produce enough income in-house to pay their bills for the year. We just spend more money than we make, so that's what this is for.
And community theater, again, is such a powerful resource, and for our children and for all of us. I mean, so I encourage everyone to please go to Holly McCone, get your ticket, go to the Astor Street Opry Company website. You can buy it online. You can corral.
You stop me on the street. I have them in my pocket, by the way.
That's right.
Strangely
if you see
enough,
Chuck Meyer,
I carry tickets with me when I'm wandering around.
If you see Chuck Meyer, stop him on the street. Okay, Chuck, we have a few minutes left. Any last things you would like the listening audience to know about Thursday, November 12th? It's the one and only annual Astor Street Opry Company Be an Angel fundraiser. Michael Foster is a sponsor. There's artwork. I think, isn't there artwork from his collection?
Well, he donates a piece. The Meyer family is donating a historic 1920 panoram frame photograph. And we have local artists donating pieces. Stan Wanless, who used to run the art department at the college, I contacted, and I've got several pieces from him that's going to be in it. So,
and Richard Rowland, and I mean, so you have great artists involved. And
local artists, yes.
Yes, and you also have, again, these experiences, plane rides, boat cruises.
Food. Dinners,
yes.
Home-cooked dinners, Chris Holland. There's something there pretty much for anybody. There's a couple pieces I still have my name on, or my eye on, even though I really need more stuff. But anyway, when nice stuff shows up, it's kind of hard to say no, so I'll at least bid on some things.
Well, it's a wonderful way to celebrate community theater with, you know, with folks who care about it. So I encourage everyone to buy a ticket, show up on Thursday, November 12th. Will there be tickets at the door, or do you think?
There'll be tickets at the door.
But it's better to buy them in advance,
yeah,
so that you know how many
people.
There's
only so many seats.
That's right.
And I'd love to sell out, but.
Right. Well, let's make that a goal, to sell out this year, because, you know, Peter at Fulio's is doing the dinner. And again, the tickets are incredibly reasonable, and it's a great way to support local community theater. Anything else, Chuck?
Yeah, you get two drinks with your dinner, with your entry ticket. That'd be beer, wine, coffee, soda pop, water, whatever you want. We've got something for everybody. So, Donna, it's to you.
All right. Thank you so much, Chuck. And we really do support Astor Street Opry Company. Thanks for all the good work that you do in our community.
Thank you. And you,
and
our engineer.
Terry Wilson,
yes.
Engineer extraordinaire. Thank you for being part of this program and for keeping us on track. It's always challenging when you split a show. You're trying to hit timing, and thank you for everything that you do to make that possible, Terry. I also want to express my appreciation to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself. Today, take a deep breath. Taking a deep breath signals your body that it's okay to relax and to be present in the moment. We're all rushing around. We sometimes hear the news. It's not good. We focus on that. Try to refocus your energy and attention on those things which are working well in your life, on feeling good and on appreciating yourself by giving yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, the only one, the only one, and for doing the best you can. If we knew how to do things better, we would. You're doing the best you can. And for being here now, in this moment, the only moment which exists on the amazing planet we call Earth.